God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. We do record our messages. They're available up online. They're available on Podbean. They're available on the church's website. And they're available on the church's Facebook page. And for the website, it's on the back of the bulletin, as well as contact information. I want to talk this morning about, or the title of the message this morning is Redeemed. Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And of course, the refrain in the song, is, so! That's like, it was in our downstairs bathroom. It's somewhere. It's going to go on a wall sooner or later once we start putting things on the wall. It's a sign that Deb had put up for year, had up in the bathroom for a number of years. It says, if you love something, tell them. Here, or tell them so. So, you know, walk up. So. Praise the Lord. Being redeemed. First off, what is to redeem something? It's to recover ownership. Okay, I managed to cut off a little bit more of my notes than I intended to. To recover ownership of something by paying off a specified sum or to pay off a lien. If you've you ever taken a vehicle to a mechanic and the bill was more than you anticipated, a bill was more than you could pay, mechanic can put a lien on the vehicle so that you can't sell it without paying them off. A mechanic's lien can be put on a house. You had some work done. I've never done this, by the way. I just know that it happens. If you've ever been to a pawn shop, you had something, but you needed money, so you take something to a pawn shop, and they give you a reduced amount, an amount less than what it's worth. Basically, it's a loan. They're holding the item, but if you don't come back and pay it, if you don't come back and redeem it, they have the right to then go and sell the item. To redeem something is to buy it back. The whole book of Ruth talks about redeeming an inheritance. You know the story of the book of Ruth. Her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi was from the tribe of Benjamin. And sons Mahlon and Chilion. And I don't remember Ruth's sister-in-law's name. At any rate, the father-in-law died. And both of the brothers died. So Ruth, or Naomi, the mother-in-law, is going to go back to her own, going to go back to Benjamin, to Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. She's over in the land of Moab. Ruth and her sister-in-law are both Moabite women. And Naomi says, go back to your father's houses. You're young enough. You can basically, the real New English translation, I'll tell you what it says. I won't tell you what the words are. Go back to your father's houses. You're young enough. You can get another husband and go from there. But Naomi says no. Or Ruth says no. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, there will I die and there will I be buried. So she goes with Naomi back to Israel. And because of the rules for redemption, the property had to stay within the family guidelines, within the family's possession. So if one member of the family lost it, it went, you know, a cousins could redeem it so that it stayed within the possessions. So Boaz, the rich man, who took a liking to Ruth and read the book if you haven't. If you have, read it again. It's good reading. But he was a close kinsman, but he wasn't the closest kinsman. Somebody else had a more valid right to redeem the property. Of course, the cost of redeeming the property was going to be he was going to have to marry Ruth in order to get that property, because that's how the law is written out. And the other cousin says, you know, if I marry her, it's going to mess up my own inheritance, so I can't do that. But if you want to redeem it, you go ahead. So that's how Boaz and Ruth became the parents of Obed, who became the parents of Jesse, who became the parents of David the king. So, quick little thing in there. But they had rules for what it took to redeem. Rules for who was allowed to do it. You had to have, in order to redeem something, you had to have a legal claim to what it was being redeemed. Otherwise, it's just something being sold. Okay? Everybody with me so far? Okay, so now we're going to talk about redemption. God says, I have redeemed you. He said that to Israel. In fact, right here in Exodus 6:6, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. God says, I have legal claim to you, and I'm going to take you back. I'm going to rescue you from this situation. I'm going to remove all of the bondage from off of you and let you know that I am the one. Now, back in the Garden of Eden, and we're not going to turn there, but on the sixth day, God created a man from the dust of the earth and breathed breath of life into him, and man became a living soul. God formed man from the dust of the earth, made him. As our creator, he's got a valid claim to our lives. Yet, we sell ourselves under sin. In fact, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians. He says, I am carnal and sold unto sin. That's where it goes into the good that I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do, and the bad things I don't want to do, I keep doing. That's leading up to that. He says, I am carnal, sold under sin. There's a lien on my life. Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We were destined to hell. Our sins had separated us from God. My sin had separated me from God. Yet Jesus came and paid the price to redeem our lives from destruction, to buy us back, to remove any lien or any claim anyone else had on us. It's all been paid in full. To recover ownership by paying of a specific sum or to pay off a lien. That's what redemption is. When God uses the term, I have redeemed you, it means I had claim and there was the title got clouded, but I bought you back. In Titus 2, beginning with verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Jesus paid the price to redeem our lives from destruction. He paid the price, that set price. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He paid the price in his own body. That perfect sacrifice. The perfect sinless one laid down his life to redeem our lives from destruction. Remember going back to Isaiah 53 verses 10 through 12 where Scripture says, when you claim his soul as a sacrifice for sin, he that is God looks down and sees him that is Jesus standing in our stead and is satisfied. When we claim that what Jesus did as a sacrifice for our sin, God says, paid in full. He says, you are redeemed. In Revelation 5, beginning with verse 5. Setting the stage, John is in the throne room of heaven, and there's a great book and seals, and no one is found that can open the seal. They're looking around, trying to find somebody who can open the seals of this book written in heaven. And they're not finding anyone, and John begins to weep. But then verse 5, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood as a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" John, there on the Isle of Patmos, having this vision of heaven, this the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that John wrote down, recognizing the things that were going on in heaven, things that were, you know, laid out. It's like the Lamb who had been slain has redeemed us out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, throughout the whole earth. That's why Scripture says, when Scripture says it's not God's will that any should perish, that means any. That means everywhere. Not just here, not just, you know, down the road a ways, not just wherever. It's not God's will that any should perish, because every life is precious. That's why it tells us in the book of Romans that the things of God are readily visible, looking at the world around us, and that, so that we are without excuse. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 17, Peter says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Jesus shed his blood. And it's interesting that it refers to him as a spotless lamb, a lamb without spot or blemish. Because back in the law, God said that the firstborn male, the male that opens the womb, is mine, every one. And of those clean animals, they were to be sacrificed to God. But it said, but if you have a donkey, if you have a mule, and if you want, you can redeem him with a spotless lamb. But if you don't redeem him, you have to break his neck. Had to sacrifice it. He said, but every son of man, every man you will redeem. We belong to God because he created us. The redemption of our lives before God required the sacrifice of a perfect lamb. And Jesus came to be that perfect sacrifice, to redeem each and every one of our lives from destruction, to buy us back. Because we had gone our own way. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone his own way. Yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was despised and rejected. He went through that for me. He went through that for you. That we might boldly come before a throne of grace, having been redeemed, having been bought with a price, having been made pure and righteous by his work, having his righteousness imputed to us, that we don't stand before a holy God having our own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but rather we come before a holy God having the righteousness of the perfect sacrifice imputed to us, imparted to us, that we might boldly come before that throne of grace. We are bought with a price. We are holy and redeemed because of His work. Praise God.
Glory.
I don't come before God having my own righteousness, but I'll tell you something. Some of y'all might think I'm a pretty nice guy, but I know me. David said, I know my faults and my sins are ever before me. I know. Well, I've talked about it here in the church. I talked to it was quite a few years ago. One Sunday morning, we had a couple of visitors here from Massachusetts. It was really, really nice. We were talking one day. I said, y'all really need to pray for your pastor because I get thoughts. Okay? Things happen in my life. I get thoughts. And I was driving down the road yesterday. Debbie and I were going down the road, and there was a crowd of bicyclists taking up the whole lane. And as I passed them, I had the urge to ease them into the cornfield. I didn't do it, but that thought came up into my mind. Now that young couple, that couple that was here visiting us, were on a bicycle tour and just happened. We all face temptations. We all face challenges. We all have our own flesh that we struggle with on a regular basis. But God loves us so that we stand before His throne righteous and holy because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Old Sunday school song, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sin has washed away. I've been redeemed. Some of y'all know that. We have been bought with a price. And the price isn't corruptible. It's not money in our pocket. We couldn't buy our own redemption. We couldn't redeem ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. There was no answer until God made an answer. Scripture says, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, before ever the pages of time began rolling, God's plan was in place. And in the fullness of time, Christ died for the ungodly, like me and like you. Galatians 3, beginning with verse 10, says, For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all of things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now looking at the book of the law, are any things in there it said to do that you didn't do? Or any of the things in the book of the law that said not to do that you did? Guilty. We were cursed. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Believing what Jesus did, believing that Jesus died on the cross for me and for you. Believing that His work is sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to forgive our sins, to impart to us His righteousness, that we might boldly come before that throne of grace. Drop down to chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from the slave or from the servant, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Praise God. Yes. Given us His righteousness and made us sons. Made us heirs of heaven. Praise God. We have been redeemed. God has proclaimed His clear title to my life and to yours. Redeemed our lives from destruction. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but we have been redeemed. We have been bought with a price, and we are His. Praise God. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You didn't leave us in our sins. You didn't leave us lost without hope. But, Lord, that You sent salvation. You laid forth Your plan all down through Scripture, even from the book of Genesis, talking about the coming peace, talking about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. That the seed of the woman... The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, but that the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the woman. But all the way back in Genesis, You talked about a Redeemer. Job says, I know My Redeemer lives, and in My flesh I will see Him. My eyes and not another. Job knew and declared that You had made a way. Even when it wasn't written down, even when it wasn't evident, he knew You had made a way. We thank You, Father, that You have made a way to redeem our lives from destruction. We have been bought with a price and been restored to right relationship, the relationship that Adam gave away in the garden. You have brought us back into the fellowship that we might commune with You, and we might walk with You in the cool of the evening, that we might spend time in Your presence. Being able to boldly come into that throne of grace because the righteousness that has been imparted to us. Father, we thank You. Lord, keep us and guide us, Lord. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcdt.org.